You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
September 6, 1989, my dad dies very unexpectedly. He was only 59 years old, and I thought I'd have decades with him.
He was a blue-collar worker and a wonderful, tender man and father who struggled pretty hard throughout his life.
After my mom died, he worked two jobs, 60-hour weeks. This is before the days of daycare, before fast food, and he learned to cook. He took care of my sister Carol and me and did a heroic job, and that's not an exaggeration. I was never able to come out of my shell with my dad and engage with him the way he did with me. I was just too damaged by my mom's death. But I was there for him when he died. I hung in there tight, and I didn't look away. It crushed me. And my first time of coming out into the world again was a couple of months later, when Sport Magazine wanted me to be their representative at the third Leonard Duran fight in Las Vegas. Muhammad was going to be there. Both Muhammad and Lonnie had told me so. And the largest reason I wanted to be at that fight is to hang with Muhammad, which I hadn't done in months and months. I get to Vegas 2 days before the fight. I unpack my suitcase in the hotel room and then open the curtains. And cool, there's this hawk sitting out there. That's a promising sign. The next morning, when I get out of bed, I look out the window and the hawk is still there, unmoving, dead. You know, here in Vegas, will I even find a radio station that's remotely listenable? Wayne Newton, gosh, Barry Manilow, all that Vegas-y stuff. But then I stumble across one that's playing a Van Morrison tune I haven't heard before. I forgot that love existed. And I did. When the song ends, I have to admit, I feel a little better. I walk over to the Mirage Hotel. which is hosting the fight. And the very first person I've run into is Lani Ali. I spot her standing outside an elevator, and I go up to her, and she says, "Davey," which is what she called me, "Muhammad will want to see you. Why don't you come up to the suite?" Muhammad's in the room, standing there, staring out the window, turns around and sees me, "My man," which he always called me, and gives me a big hug. We're standing there looking out the window, and he says, "This big hotel, this town, don't none of it mean nothing. It's all only dust." He turns to me and he says, "How you doing?" And I say, "I'm okay, but my dad died." He looks at me as empathetically as if it was his own father I'm talking about, as if I'm very close family, which is something I wanted somehow and something that I needed, the recognition from Muhammad that my father had indeed passed and that that meant oh so much to me. Lani says, "My father just died too," and she tears up. Lani excuses herself from the room, and Muhammad opens his briefcase, which he always kept with him, and he shows me this famous painting of Jesus. He says, "I always take this with me. This is with me everywhere I go because it reminds me, how did some colored boxer from Louisville, Kentucky become famous as this man?" And I'm feeling kind of bad for Muhammad when he says that. Muhammad and I go down to the main lobby of the Mirage. The elevator reaches the ground floor. The doors open. And then suddenly Ali makes this huge clucking sound. Then I hear somebody repeat it from the distance. It's almost like an echo. Ali and I step out of the elevator. And there's Howard. Ali repeats the sound again. And kind of chuckles. And Howard does it straight back at him. And he says, "Watch how people react." Howard pulls out a chair and finds a table. Muhammad sits down. Within seconds, there's 100 people around him. Within minutes, there's 500. Within 10 minutes, 1,000. Muhammad sits at the table and starts signing autographs on Muslim tracks he has with him.
Champ.
Good.
Where are you from?
New York City.
Hey, champ, someone over here, please.
Where are you from?
Haiti.
They call me the lady.
Where are you from?
Pakistan.
Pakistan.
Give me your hand, please.
People come up to him and tell stories about how they'd met him 30 years before, and Ali always pretends to remember. I say to Howard, "Is it like this everywhere?" He says, "Everywhere. Everywhere in the world, all the time. 200,000 people came to see him last year in Jakarta."
I was waiting on Muhammad to come, because he obviously told my dad he's coming, so we was aware of it, and we let it out to the public. And the street where we lived is just, the whole town came to a standstill. There must have been thousands. It wasn't a couple of hundred, it was thousands. The police had to call in the army to help with crowd control.
That's Tyrone Monahan, author of Paddy Monahan, The Rough Diamond. His lifelong friendship with Muhammad through his dad is at least as deep and profound as my own.
There was no trouble or nothing, but they had to call him in. Muhammad was in the house, and the chanting outside, "Ali, Ali, Ali." It's happened quite a few times.
Whether you work in a rice paddy in Indonesia or sleep in a hut in Zimbabwe, Muhammad Ali is known and revered everywhere. Reflecting on that now, all these decades since Ali and I became friends, I marvel again how his Parkinson's allowed him to become an ailing family member to the world. In the 1990s, Ali became an ambassador of worldwide goodwill, and he traveled more than 250 days of each year. Huge crowds turned out to greet him wherever he went. Tens of thousands, sometimes even hundreds of thousands of people. One day he was in China, the next in New York, the third in London, and then on to LA. Man, that blew me away. I was young, fit, and healthy, and could not come close to keeping up with him. Personally, as I grappled with marriage problems and trying to get my writing out into the world, he taught me the relativity of struggle through yet another life-saving effort. Episode 6, The People's Champ. I never thought of myself as doing a profile of Muhammad for GQ or Sports Illustrated or the New York Times. I'm just hanging with my friend. But then the experience is so powerful in my own life, and I'm seeing things about him that at the time no one else was writing about. Mrs. Clay called me and said, "It's beautiful. It's beautiful." She says, "It's awful long, but it's the best thing ever about the family." And that meant something to me. A guy named Lee Eisenberg, who was the editor-in-chief at Esquire, didn't want to run the story. And David Hershey, my editor, came to him and said, "This is one of the most beautiful pieces I've ever read." And Eisenberg said, "Well, that's not the way I see it." He said, "I thought that this guy was a lot closer, that he'd known Ali for years and years." And he said, "That's the piece I want." So eventually, Esquire killed it. But nobody got back with me and told me that they're not going to run the story. I'm sitting and waiting 90 days, 120 days, whatever it was.
David Hershey.
Then I finally get hold of David Hershey, and he says, "Lee has decided not to use it." He said, "I think he's wrong, but he's decided not to use it. I'll be sure you get your kill fee." I didn't even know what a kill fee was. I'm expecting $2,500 and launched in the best magazine, to my mind, in the country. Instead, I'm getting $475. Months later, I end up selling it to the Louisville Courier-Journal for $400. And I still hadn't been paid that $475 by the time it ran. And money got tight. I mean, it got real tight. Lee Eisenberg, he wanted me to be the standard reporter. I've never come from that place. Muhammad, he's my inspiration. He's my hero. He's my muse. But basically, he's just my friend. That's another problem classically schooled journalists has had with me. I ain't one of them, and I'm not coming from their place. They think I was violating Muhammad in some way. It's something that I had to consider in all ways, in every moment. I used him as the barometer for that. I used his reactions more than Lonnie's. I would use Muhammad's reactions for what he felt. When my dinner with Ali was published, Muhammad called me. "Beautiful, beautiful," he said. And I know everything's okay, that I'm doing the right thing. Anyway, that's all I have to say about that. August 1990, I'm back in Louisville, selling our house, finally. Lynn's given up her paint and paintbrushes for a steady job in a cubicle. But I've got to hang with the dream of becoming an artist. Because she's taken that job, now we'll get a little relief from our bills. As I'm getting ready to leave town, I decide to go by Mrs. Clay's and say hello to her. I knock on the door, and who opens it but Muhammad Ali. "My man," he says, "come on in." He looks great. He's lost about 40 pounds, and I compliment him. He says, "I'm training for a spiritual battle." We have lunch, and while we're eating, the phone rings. He picks it up. And he's on for a long time for Muhammad, about 15 minutes. And I hear the deep voice on the other end. And when he hangs up, he said, "I got something I want to ask you. People want me to go to Iraq, stand between two big armies, get ready to fight. Say I'm Muhammad Ali. Don't fight. Do you think I should do it?" I hesitate. I don't know what to say to that. Months later, I switch on the TV, and guess what? There's Muhammad. He's in Iraq. He's negotiating with Saddam Hussein to get hostages released. But the New York Times is slamming him, saying he's doing it to get media attention and that he risks being an Iraqi propaganda puppet. The White House slams him too. Of course the White House doesn't want him doing that. They want the oil. That's what all of this is about. They want a war. Once again, Muhammad finds himself at loggerheads with the United States government. And again, he carries on despite the blowback, doing what he believes is the right thing to do. Muhammad Ali, the conscientious objector, brings home 15 American hostages to their families.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Business. It's all the things that keep this world turning. And behind every one of these companies is a partner helping to keep it all moving. It's why the local flower shop and your favorite pizza joint, the startup in the stadium, hospitals and hotels, banks and restaurants nationwide, all choose the advanced network, cybersecurity solutions, and round-the-clock trusted partnership from Comcast Business, the company that powers more businesses than anyone else. Comcast Business. Powering possibilities.
Restrictions apply. Call or visit ComcastBusiness.com to learn more.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity. It's designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals to help cover unexpected expenses, plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. In other words, it's like getting a paycheck for life. We'll say that again. A paycheck for life. Guaranteed. Sounds too good to be true? It's not. It's the Parity Flex annuity. And it's one more example of their commitment to creating a better financial future for women. One where they feel empowered, not excluded, and ready to take on whatever their next chapter holds. Gainbridge believes financial flexibility and security are things we all could use more of. At retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Who's with us? Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Please visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
In 1967, when Ali was stripped of the heavyweight championship for refusing to be inducted into the military, it was a polarizing event all over the world. You were either for Ali or against Ali. Well, one young man born in Northern Ireland stood firmly behind Muhammad and started a campaign to get his boxing license reinstated. A bare-knuckle fighter, Paddy Monaghan, circulated a petition that gained over 22,000 signatures and later wrote President Richard Nixon to plead Ali's case. It was Paddy who first called Ali the people's champion. What resulted was a friendship between Paddy and Muhammad that lasted until Ali's death in 2016. Paddy's son Tyrone joins us now from England. Bare knuckle fighting. Not only was your dad good at it, he was a world champion.
He was, yeah.
Talk about that underground aspect of it, that your dad had this notoriety and very few people knew about it.
Yeah, well, back in the day, it was illegal. It's not like today where it's mainstream. And it's nice to see it mainstream and these young fellas now getting out there and making a name for himself. But back in the day, if you was caught doing bare knuckle fighting, you'd be panged up, you'd be put in prison. And the thing is where my dad's manager, Tommy Hurd, he had a venue called The Barn. And when you're good enough, he'd allow you to fight in The Barn. Now, The Barn was a notorious place. And let's just say people didn't make their money from being Mr. Nice Guy, you know? So because there's a lot of gambling and betting going on in there, and they had lookouts on the country lanes for police coming, and everything had to be kept quiet. When the time my dad won the world title, I was only a child, me and my sister Claire. We was wanting to tell the whole world, wow, my dad's world champion, you know, because you see him coming home with the broken knuckles and the cut eyes and the broken noses and all that stuff. And when he achieved his goal of becoming the world champion, we just want to tell everybody, but we couldn't. He had his world title belt and it was kept wrapped up in a white towel underneath the bed. Yeah.
Your dad grew up in a tough neighborhood, tough kid. Even before they met, Muhammad Ali played a role in your dad's childhood.
My dad had dyslexia. He left Ireland and came over to England when he was 5 or 6 years of age. And he was known as a problem child. He was sent to help the school caretaker. He was missing classes and things like that. He'd be out there digging coal to heat up the school, keep everybody warm. He couldn't read, he found it hard to write. So when he left school, at about 15, 16 years of age, my grandma, even when he was a child, used to get him the boxing news, the weekly paper that used to come out over here in England. My grandma would be reading page to page and the photographs and telling him who the photographs are. This was a turning point for my dad. Seeing Cassius Clay back in the day on the pictures and my nan reading about Cassius Clay. My dad knew this man was amazing.
I am the king of the world. I shook up the world. I shook up the world.
And he wanted to learn how to read and write so he can read about Muhammad himself. So my grandma started him off with the book with big writing on, and she was teaching him how to read. I think about 17, 18, he always thought that books started off with Once Upon a Time and ended with Happy Ever After, you know? Muhammad Ali gave my dad the inspiration to learn how to read and write. And my dad ended up writing a book himself. He couldn't thank the likes of Muhammad Ali for wanting him to learn how to read and write. Later on, when they stripped Muhammad off his title, my dad thought they've taken my college away. My dad looked upon Muhammad as his college of knowledge. So when they stuck my father's college out of the way, stripped Muhammad off his title, he thought he had to do something about it.
So your dad starts the petition. He's supporting Ali being reinstated to boxing, and they finally meet. How did that come about?
My dad's friend came around and said Herbert Muhammad is coming into London. So my dad thought, oh, I must go and meet this fella. So at the time, where my dad was doing the petition, he had 22,224 signatures at the end of 3.5 years of doing that. But he had a load of fan mail at the same time. My dad started the very first Muhammad Ali fan club. So he took these couple of the sacks of the fan mail up to Herbert Muhammad. And Herbert couldn't believe what was going on. He took my dad's address, his name and phone number. And a couple of weeks later, my dad gets a call from Muhammad Ali himself. And Muhammad says, Paddy, I'm coming over to the Royal Lancaster Hotel. I want to meet you. So then when they met the Royal Lancaster Hotel, my dad thought it was going to be like a shake in the hand, a tap on the back. Oh, thank you, Paddy, for everything you've done for me. That's great. And my dad would have been happy with that. Who wouldn't be? But no, it went a lot more than that. Muhammad booked my dad a room next to his room in the hotel. He was touring London at that time. My dad was with him side by side for about near enough a week, 4 or 5 days. And then they went up north, done a little bit of a trip around the north. And they've struck up a great friendship. And Muhammad, all the way through this, like 50 years of friendship, Muhammad never forgot what my dad done for him.
There's always been a special bond with the people in Ireland, with Ali. What's that all about?
I think the majority of people knew Muhammad was different in each and every way. He was the underdog. What the authorities done to him, most of Americans back in the day, they turned their back on Muhammad. Like the war in Ireland between Catholics and Protestant in Britain. I'm a Catholic. We was like the underdog all the time. So we know what it's like to be the underdog. And it's not nice. Muhammad was just something special, something different. he's like the plug going to the socket and the light's going on.
Muhammad invited your dad to work his corner for a couple of fights.
He's wearing white Chuck Thompson. From Louisville, Kentucky, Muhammad Ali.
Most notably, the rematch with Joe Frazier in 1974. I mean, he just took him and held him close.
He never asked for nothing, and he's always there to give. And Muhammad liked that. He was also in the corner for the Al Blue Lewis fight. Now, did you know the Al Blue Lewis fight nearly didn't happen? Did you know that?
I knew it was in Ireland, but I didn't know it almost didn't happen.
Yeah, it nearly didn't happen. The Irish officials asked who's going to be in the corner. And Muhammad says, I want Paddy in my corner. And because my dad didn't have a license, they wasn't going to allow my dad to be in the corner. And Muhammad turned around and he said, no Paddy, no fight. And the officials got it. Paddy had to be in the corner. So my dad had a one-day license to be in Muhammad's corner. And I still got that license today. Yeah.
How do you describe their relationship?
That's a good question. When you see them in the room together, it was electric. The energy in the room... It was like they was bouncing off of each other, having the banter, having the crack. It was electric. And the only way I can say it, their relationship was beautiful, absolutely beautiful. My dad, he was a straight fella. If he liked you, you'd know about it. If he didn't like you, you'd know about it. As simple as that. Everybody in the town here, you know, a lot of people, they loved him. You know, they loved him where he brought Muhammad to the town, and Muhammad made this town famous. And to this day, people still talk about his visits. Like when my dad be away with Muhammad and coming back, telling stories and saying, like, you know, they call each other brother. But when you're actually in the room, like I said, and you hear my dad, Muhammad and dad hugging each other, I love you, my brother. I mean, that was like, wow. You know, wow.
Talk about those visits.
We was waiting on Muhammad to come because he obviously told my dad he's coming, so we was aware of it. And we let it out to the public. And the street where we lived is just... the whole town came to a standstill. There's so many people there that the police had to call in the army to help with crowd control. There was no trouble or nothing, but they had to call them in. So the whole street was absolutely, there must have been thousands. It wasn't a couple of hundred, it was thousands. And like I said, it blocked the whole town off. It's happened quite a few times. Muhammad was in the house and the chanting outside, the fans outside, Ali, Ali, Ali. Through the window. Now, we didn't have double glazing windows at the time. There was just normal wooden windows and we had a normal wooden door. And we had six panes of glass in the door, no double glazing. So you could hear everything. And the chants was going, and Muhammad says, I just got to go and see my fans. My dad says, Toro, he says, get the door. And I'll put my hand on the door, and I'm not lying to you. As I put my hand on the door to open it, the door was vibrating with Ali. Every time there was an Ali, the door was vibrating. The windows were vibrating. You could see them vibrate. The door, I had my hand on the door and it was still out there vibrating, like, you know. And my dad says, get ready for it, boy. I goes, what do you mean, Dad? He says, you'll see. I open the door and... Ali, Ali, Ali. Ah, it was like a big bolt of thunder just coming in through the door, like, just come in all at the same time. Talk about going goose pimply. It was absolutely amazing. But my dad stepped out of the door, Muhammad stepped out of the door, and I stayed behind. And the chants, Ali, Ali, talk about Beatlemania. This was Ali Mania. And it was absolutely phenomenal. And then as soon as Muhammad held up his hand, the crowd went quiet and he started talking to them. You can imagine thousands of people chanting, Ali, Ali, Ali. And then the next thing, the hand goes up and you could hear a pin drop. It's absolutely unbelievable. August 1983. I just won the home counties championship. I was a welterweight. And my father used to have me sparring with heavyweights. So I'll go in, get in and out very, very quick, hopefully without getting hit. Knowing that if I get hit, it's going to hurt. So Muhammad was there and the car pulled up outside the house. And straight away he looked at me and he goes, me and him just started shadow sparring in the front garden. Oh, it was amazing. Absolutely fantastic. And after that, there we went into the house and the crack and the banter was happening. My dad and him had their private talk as well. And then he says to me, he says, Tyrone, do you want to do some sparring? Oh, wow. I said, yes, please, Muhammad. So Howard went to the car and brought back a pair of white boxing gloves. But the only pair of white gloves I've ever seen before was my dad's trainer fighter called Georgie Sutton. Cracking boxer, beautiful boxer he was. Seeing his white boxing gloves, I'm like, wow, lovely. So I get my gloves on and at the back garden, we had probably about 12 by 12 flooring. And Muhammad says, there's no rounds. There's no rounds, he says. Whoever loses this fight, he said, and he points to, we had an old beat up dustbin, metal dustbin with a rubber top on it. And it was in August. It was a good summer's day in August. And this garbage can, it stunk. You can imagine the heat, isn't it? It stunk. And I thought, I'm not going to sit on that. You know. So Muhammad's just giving it the large one with his Louisville lip, saying what he's going to do to me. You sucker. I'm going to beat you.
Overweight, no shape. 3 years out of training, although I'm a former champ, I'm the greatest of all time, the greatest of all time, three-time champ in no condition, a woman, I announced the first.
This was in 1983 when Muhammad was retired. I'm used to sparring with heavyweights. I was a welterweight, used to sparring with heavyweights. So Muhammad is trying to psych me out, calling me sucker and all that stuff, what he's going to do to me.
Wait till I put something on him.
And I goes, come on, Muhammad, let's get it on. But let me tell you something, even though he's taking it easy on me, his jabs, all I could feel was bam, 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 rat-a-tat-tat, right on my forehead. And in 1983, he's retired. I could not see his jabs move. And I'm used to sparring with heavyweight. I could not see his jabs move. And he's popping his jabs out, and bam, 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 hitting my forehead. And I thought, wow. For that split second, I'm thinking, if this is Muhammad Ali now, what would he have been like in his prime against these other heavyweights? No wonder he baffled them. With his speed, me and him's moving around there, and he's talking to me all the way through it. Come on, what are you going to do now, sucker? What are you going to do to me now, sucker? I'm going to get you now, man. I caught him with a body punch, right? Now, I think he was being kind to me. I think he felt sorry for me. And he probably thought, I got to let this fella get one in. So I caught him to the body, and that was it. His eyes wide open, like, you know how he opened his eyes, and he's coming back at me even more now. And then I start going into the cross guard, and he says, Paddy, what are you teaching this guy? What are you teaching him? He's doing a Norton. And my dad's laughing. He said, come on, sucker. I said, I'm coming for you now, Muhammad. I'm coming for you. Let's have it. All right. And then all of a sudden, he threw his arms up in the air. He said, I don't believe it. I just got beat. Perone, you're the new champion. You're the greatest, and you just beat the greatest. Now you're the greatest. And Muhammad went over and sat on that garbage can. He sat on it, it stunk. I went over to him, my dad went over to him, and I went over to it, and he gave me a big hug. He said, Tyrone, I love sparring you, you're good. Since then, I have three beautiful daughters, Megan, Ella, and Kerri-Ann. And being present at their births, nothing can take that away. But the next best thing that happened in my life was sparring with Muhammad Ali that day. And I still think of it now as if it just happened yesterday or today. He gave me the most amazing moment of my life. He really did. And it's a memory. I got photographs in the drawer. People say, oh, you should have them up on the wall. Well, you know, I've got them lying in the drawer. But the memories are more so in my mind and in my heart. You made me feel good about myself. And that is something magic that Muhammad had about him, what he could do for other people. I've seen it so many times.
That's a gift from your dad.
Thank you very much for saying that. If it wasn't for my father, I would never have met Muhammad. I would never have had the chance to meet him. All my lovely thoughts.
There's a young man here tonight I have to introduce. He's my number one fan in England, Mr. Paddy Monahan. Come here, Paddy. Come up here. Now, you tell these people a word or two, Paddy. Say something now.
And memories. It's all thanks to my daddy for what he'd done for Muhammad, and Muhammad acknowledging that there and striking up a friendship with each other.
There's only one thing I can say to you all. World heavyweight champions may come and go, but in Muhammad Ali's case, this will never be so. Because forever, he will always be the people's champion. To you and to me. Thank you.
As Muhammad got older, did he still come to visit?
My dad noticed a shake in Muhammad's hand after the third Ken Norton fight. It was only a little slight shake, but that's when my dad noticed something wasn't right with Muhammad in 1976. Muhammad visited us many times in the late 1980s, in the early 1990s, 91, 92, 93, he was with us. His speech was slurred, but his mind was as active as yours and mine and anyone else's in that room put together. He was very, very with it. There's obviously times where you can see him slowing down a little bit, but it didn't matter. He was Muhammad Ali. I think it bothered other people more than it did Muhammad himself.
Ali left a part of his spirit with you after he visited you.
Well, yeah. I've gone all goose pimply, you saying that. It wasn't just a one visit. It was on every visit. Muhammad was the light in the darkest room. But you've met him yourself. You know what he's like. You know where I'm coming from when I say that. He would be the light in the darkest room. And the charisma and the life he brought into our home when he was with us, and the joy, the laughter he brought my sisters and my mum and my grandma and my dad and the people that was there. It was just absolutely electrifying. And when he left to go to London, wherever he had to go to, it was like it really was as if he left part of his spirit behind for us. I know a lot of people might think I'm crazy talking like that there, but that's the nearest way I can say it. I'm getting swelling me up a little bit now. It was just amazing.
What part of you do you think you picked up from Ali?
There's lots of things, really. One of the things that I can say is believe in yourself. And that goes a long way for a lot of people, especially anybody with mental health issues, because they could have went through some terrible trauma in their life. Another way I respect him each and every way, but how he would try to bring peace into people's lives and the world. If only these politicians today could be a quarter of the man Muhammad Ali was, there'd be peace in this world today. Muhammad Ali was tough. He had a jaw of granite and he was a tough, tough man. And look how soft and gentle he was with children. How soft and gently he'd go around the hospitals. My dad would be with him, going around the hospitals. There he was, a couple of days before the Al Blue Lewis fight in Dublin. He was going around the hospital, picking up the children and wiping their dribbles from their mouth. He kissed every child. He'd pick them up. If they were bedridden, he'd wipe their mouth if they're dribbling, and he'd bend over and kiss every child. He's a big, tough guy, but what a heart, what a soft heart. Isn't the title the perfect title, the People's Champion?
Yeah.
That's the perfect title.
Sure was. Elvis gave him a nice robe with that on the back. Remember that sequined robe that Elvis gave him?
So my dad was with Muhammad one time, and Elvis was on tour, but Muhammad had his number. And Dad knew that my dad was an Elvis Presley fan. So he phoned Elvis up. My dad got talking to Elvis, chatting to Elvis on the phone. And Elvis could not apologize enough to my dad. Elvis Presley wrote the People's Champion. Now, that is what my dad named Muhammad. And when Elvis saw the People's Choice on the back, Elvis, the floor could have opened up and swallowed Elvis. It was the People's Champion, not the People's Choice. And that's why he apologized to my father.
In 2009, Muhammad came to Ireland.
Muhammad was Irish. He said to me one day, I can't remember how old I was. It was in our front room. He leaned over and he said, Tyrone, do you know why I'm so good at boxing? I said, no, Muhammad, I don't know why. He said, because I'm Irish, the fighting Irish.
In 2009, he travels to Ireland to visit that ancestral home of Ennis, where his mother's family was originally from. And you spent time with him the day before.
We knew he was going to meet Muhammad again. Then a man called John Ramsey came. Real nice fella, yeah. And he took my dad and me and my middle daughter called Ella up into Muhammad's room. Now, the Muhammad Ali who we knew, the big frame, big shoulders on him, and now seeing him just frail. Yeah. It was sad. So Lonnie says, Muhammad, Paddy's here, Paddy Monaghan. And then she said a couple of times, Muhammad, Paddy Monaghan's here. And he just looked up like that there. And a big grin. Oh, it's beautiful. He had a smile on him like a Cheshire cat. And I was standing by his side and he was trying to get up out of the chair. So I helped him up out of the chair. And he walked over to my father and the both of them, they just hugged. You know, it is lovely. And then all the words were wrapped up in that hug. And then he sat down, and my father was standing up beside me. My daughter was opposite Muhammad, just a couple of feet away, and I was with her. And he looked at me, and he kept looking at Ella, my daughter. Lonnie says, "Tyrone, be careful. You know what Muhammad's like? He's got a roving eye for a young, beautiful lady." And I looked at Muhammad and went out there to Muhammad. I made the fist at Muhammad, and he looked at me, and he gave me the fist back with that bite in his lip. And he looks at me and says, "Tyrone, is this your daughter?" I says, "Yes, Muhammad." He said, "It can't be. She's too beautiful to be your daughter." So he caught Della over, and Ella said, "Okay, Daddy." I goes, "Of course, go on, away you go." So she sat with him, and he hugged her and gave her a kiss, and she sat on the floor with her arm on his knee, and they were having a little chat. Then she came back over to me, and my dad, Muhammad, was chatting away for a wee bit. And then time was getting on, and we can see that man was getting tired. So my dad said, "Lonnie, I think we should go now." And Lonnie said, "Well, come back tomorrow morning." But we didn't go back the following morning. Before they left, once again, they gave each other that hug. We left the hotel room. And as we walked out, I looked at my dad, and I could just see the tears filling my dad's eyes. He said, "We're never going to meet again." I said, "You can see him tomorrow." Lonnie said, "Come around tomorrow." I said, "No, we're not going to meet you again." He knew that was the last hug. So it was very, very touching. And then John Ramsey knocked on the door, and he explained that they're going to Ennis tomorrow, the following day, and he'd like us to come. Lonnie asked us if we'd like to come. So my dad was over the moon with that there. But unfortunately, I was running a gymnasium at the time in the north of Ireland, and I had to get back. We didn't go to Ennis.
What's the most memorable thing Muhammad ever said to you?
Oh, God, you're asking me a question there now. I don't know. There's so much. But I'll tell you a very touching thing that he'd done. My grandma and my daddy, they were very, very close. I was very close to my grandma. She's like my best friend. So when her passing, when God called her, it was hard for us all. She was suffering for 2 years. But in one way, we're glad that she's not suffering anymore, but it still hits you. And my dad was going down. He wasn't going outside the house, and he was really on a downer. He's depressed. My mum phoned Muhammad and told him about what was going on. My grandma passed away in May. In June, there was a knock at the door, and lo and behold, it was Muhammad. My dad had no idea. Yeah. Just after my nan was buried, he came on into the house, and my dad, where he was so down and so low, he lifted my dad's spirit. He lifted all of our spirits up. It was a sad time for us all, but especially for my father. I don't know what it is, that magic touch. He just puts something into you, brings you back up again, gets you off your knees and onto your feet again. And he'd done that to my dad. But at the lowest time in my dad's life, he came over to see my dad. I'll never forget that. I pray for Muhammad every morning. I pray for him every night. I pray for him. I pray for my dad. I pray for a lot of people. He's on my mind when I wake up in the morning. He's on my mind when I go to bed at night. Also, I run the Muhammad Ali group on social media. So Muhammad is always there with me. He's with me all the time. There's not a day that goes by where I don't think about the visits and the stories.
You mentioned that he gave you a lot of autographs over the years, and they're a gift to you in a different way now.
Well, my father would never take anything off of Muhammad. And one time when my dad came back from visiting Muhammad, when he opened up the suitcase, just when my mum was unpacking the suitcase, came across an envelope stashed with Muhammad Ali autographs. And one time when I was going through a very bad time in my life, and I was taking my mum's dogs out for a walk, and I was praying. I was praying for my heart. I was fighting for quite a few years in court, but I couldn't afford a solicitor. This last time, I needed a solicitor and a barrister, and that was a lot of money. And I'm walking around the field with the dogs, and I'm thinking, how am I going to... I had 6 weeks to get the pounds together. I come in, taking the dogs for a walk, I come in and sat down. I thought about, hold on a minute, I've got all these Muhammad Ali autographs. And I remember my dad, when he was alive, God rest his soul, he'd say to me, I'll say, "Dad, what are you going to do with all those Muhammad Ali autographs?" He says to me, "I'm going to save them for a rainy day." Well, I thought, well, the rain's hitting me hard. It's not going to get any more harder than what it is right here and right now. So I said to my mum, I said, Mum, he's Muhammad Ali Allgrass. She goes, what about him? I said, do you mind if I sell him so I can get the money together for, so I can get a lawyer for Kerry Ann? She says, oh, please do, Tyron, do what you got to do. So I did. I had some going back from 1976 up to 1989s, 1992s, 1993 ones, autographs. I've even got some Cassius Clay ones, but I didn't sell them once. And I got the Cassius Clay, apparently, in the 1960, the same year he won the Olympic medal. So, yeah, I was raffling them out on the social media, and I managed to get the money together. I was £800 short, but a very good friend of mine, she phoned me, says, how are you getting on getting the money? I says, I'm £800 short. She says, not no more, you're not. She'll give you the end of it. So she gave me the end of that there, and I paid her back within a week. I sold another Ali one and paid her back. So Muhammad was helping me, even in his passing, he was still helping. Because without Muhammad doing that there to give him the autographs, I wouldn't have got that money. He's there in my heart, you know?
You're working on a book to tell the story of your dad and his time with Muhammad.
Thanks for mentioning that. The book's going to be called Paddy Monaghan, The Rough Diamond. The Rough Diamond is what my father is called when he's doing the bare knuckle fighting. It's not a Muhammad Ali story. It's a Paddy Monaghan story about him coming over from Ireland over to England, the prejudice that he had to endure and how he getting into the bare knuckle fighting, how the love from Samuel Kwok and other people, Ernie Dance and Tommy Hurd, Ian Woodley, helping my dad to get where he had to get to. And then Muhammad Ali coming into my father's life. I believe everybody knows the Muhammad Ali story. It's done inside out, back to front. Everybody knows it. But now I'm writing about Muhammad Ali, where he comes into my father's life and the friendship they got. This is stories that people don't know about. One time, my dad phoned Muhammad and he said he's doing a painting of Muhammad. Muhammad, he said, make sure you get my pretty side. And he said to my dad, when you get the painting done, take a photograph of it and send me the photograph. We didn't have a camera at the time, so we went to next door neighbour and remember the Polaroid cameras? Yeah, he got one of those there, took the Polaroid off the picture and sent it over to Muhammad. He phoned my dad up and he said, Paddy, I love the painting. I want you to do something. He says, okay, Muhammad, what do you want me to do? He said, I want you to get some prints done. So my dad said, how many? He told my dad to get 850 prints and then 165 artist proofs. So my dad done that, took him over to America. It was in Barron Springs at the time. And Muhammad and my dad signed each and every one of them. And Muhammad said, Paddy, they're for you. So you go and sell them, make some money. My dad would go, especially in Barron Springs, where Muhammad had all his memorabilia. He'd say, Paddy, he said, take what you want. My dad says, I'm not going to take nothing, Muhammad. He said, take everything. He said, I can't. He said, why can't? Paddy, he said, I want you to take something. He said, Muhammad, what I've got, and only a few people has got it, and you can't buy it. And he says, what's that? He says, your friendship. So that says it all, doesn't it? My dad didn't take any of the memorabilia, but the time before, Muhammad gave him a few bits and pieces like a boot and the glove and all that stuff. It was great how he would get my dad to do the painting, get prints done off the painting to sell. Because that was his way of saying, yeah, Paddy, I gave you a little bit there. Saxton Road was notorious. It was a rough area, but good people, you know, very, very good people. And the neighbours, they appreciated what my dad done, bringing Muhammad over. Muhammad gave my dad a walking stick. He had a black walking stick, an ebony walking stick. My dad liked, oh, that's lovely. And Howard had one. And he said, well, I got you this stick here too. And he took it off of Howard and gave it to my dad. And apparently it was the walking stick that President Mobutu, his son, gave this other stick to Muhammad. It's not like a big fancy stick, but still another nice walking stick. And he gave it to my father.
Do you still have it?
I have.
He's the sort of guy, he didn't give a damn about anything. And he knew that I was the same. We were both the same.
My dad and Muhammad, they never.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com, that's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now.
Right Rug Flooring.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Business. It's all the things that keep this world turning. And behind every one of these companies is a partner helping to keep it all moving. It's why the local flower shop and your favorite pizza joint, the startup in the stadium, hospitals and hotels, banks and restaurants nationwide, all choose the advanced network, cybersecurity solutions, and round-the-clock trusted partnership from Comcast Business, the company that powers more businesses than anyone else. Comcast Business. Powering possibilities.
Restrictions apply. Call or visit ComcastBusiness.com to learn more.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity. It's designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals to help cover unexpected expenses, plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. In other words, it's like getting a paycheck for life. We'll say that again. A paycheck for life. Guaranteed. Sounds too good to be true? It's not. It's the Parity Flex annuity. And it's one more example of their commitment to creating a better financial future for women. One where they feel empowered, not excluded, and ready to take on whatever their next chapter holds. Gainbridge believes financial flexibility and security are things we all could use more of. At retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Who's with us? Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Please visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
Judge the man by the color of his skin or the clothes that they wear. That's what I like about the pair of them.
In our next episode, Muhammad loses the greatest love of his life, while my life continues to shape shift in surprising ways. Also, we speak with a young Louisvillian whose future, through happenstance, was molded by his time with Ali.
And he looked at me and he smiled. And his eyes got big. And he reached out his hand like, I got a gift for you. And I wrapped my hand around his hand, and he looked like he didn't have any strength left in his body, but when he grabbed my hand, I felt a rush of energy. He was giving me pieces of his spirit.
The Tao of Muhammad Ali is produced by Imagine Audio for iHeart Podcast and hosted by me, Davis Miller. My co-host is Craig Mortali. Carl Welker, Mark Bouch, Nathan Clokey, Davis Miller, and Derek Jennings are the executive producers. Produced by Craig Mortali. Sound design and mixing by Juan Borda. Music by DJ Spar. And introducing Isaac Miller. Additional music is provided by Opera Louisiane's 2023 production of Approaching Ali and also Luminescence track Nuage. Visit luminescentmusic.com to check out more from the band. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to rate and review The Tao of Muhammad Ali on Apple Podcast or wherever you get your podcast.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.